D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. We are live at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators play their final home game before the NHL's Olympic break tonight against the Minnesota Wild. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5 The Game. Predators GM Barry Trotz will join us at 5 p.m. for his weekly chat. So now we are joined by our friend Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on OutKick. Hi, Hutton. How are you?
Doing well. Kind of a busy week, guys, with the news of the Preds.
Yeah, definitely. I actually am curious for your thoughts on it, but I do have another question for you. As we were just discussing Joey Aguilar's suit against the NCAA, as he is trying to secure an eighth year of eligibility, have we jumped the shark yet, Hutton?
Oh, yes, but the problem is legally versus eligibility, you know, just being eligible. I mean, I don't know anymore what's allowed and what's not, and that's the problem. The NCAA doesn't either. I've asked a couple of people here in San Francisco that have joined us just what they think of a commissioner of college football. Nobody has any answers. Nobody has a name. That's where you have to start. And that's jumped the shark, too. Everyone goes with Saban. He doesn't want the gig. So who's going to lead? Sankey's been very quiet in this, even with his own conference, with Kiffin, what happened there, what's happening with Ole Miss and the tampering. I mean, there has to be leadership first, and it doesn't have to come from the judge. And that's to me, where it's really lacking in jump the shark.
Now, is there any comparison? Because when we brought this up, we had our Texas text in and say, well, Diego went through the same thing, and you guys were not, you know, this you know, harsh on Diego, but I think Diego's is a little bit different. This one is, it's like he's trying to get an eighth year, and I get it. I understand why, but do you see any comparisons to the two?
Well, the big comparison to me is he has the same attorney. Mm. You know, he's one of 26 other players that are a part of this suit that Diego was a part of last year. I believe they filed in the same court, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, it's the same attorney who was representing them. That to me is the big comparison, just because of what happened in the Diego suit and the judge that they granted the injunction. You know, that's the big key here, is that it wasn't really ruled one way or the other. There's just an injunction that allowed them to play, that allowed him to play. So that's all he needs. You know, he doesn't need a ruling, a definitive ruling. He just needs to hit the pause button, and he'll be back for another year. This is where it's also going to really hurt teams. You got to make a plan. Mm-hmm. If you're one of the backups from last year and you think you've got a chance to start this year, but you don't, whenever the ruling comes down, you know, what do you do? Well, they're going to enter the portal. You know, like that's another downside of all this, is the uncertainty for the player that is now, you know, mentally getting ready to go compete for a job that currently doesn't have it. And I say currently does, but it may not a week from now, 2 weeks from now, whenever. It's chaos, and it's crazy. And, you know, again, everyone's got to compete against it or join it. It's one way or the other.
Now, if they choose, if indeed they side with Aguilar and his team, how do you think this affects college sports? And what I mean is those that are entering college, because my thing was, well, it may help the JUCO, because now you can go and develop. And I'm really talking about the quarterbacks. Now you can go develop a guy, pay him, and then he still has his 4 years of eligibility. And you can sell that to an individual that may be a three-star that can't get into the university he really wants to get into, but he spent 2 years at JUCO. Now he's developed. Now he gets to go wherever he wants.
Hey, man, not even JUCO. Look at Conference USA. Look at the level of play there. You know, they're really the schools who are recruiting high school players now, Mace. Mm. You know, we forget about the high school recruitment because the portal takes spots. You go develop at UAB with Trent Dilfer. I mean, he was really upset about it when he first got the job because his team was being raided. And then all of a sudden he came up with a quote that he was pitching the fact that he was open to – he wanted to be a player's coach. He wanted to be a place where you went for 2 years and then you elevated to the SEC or the Big Ten. Like, that was an accomplishment for the player. That development, it really did the portal. I think it's hurting the overall development of the quarterbacks, offensive linemen, the overall play. because you're getting a Cliff Notes version of a game plan, of a system, of a philosophy, of a playbook. And the Cliff Notes version ends up being a cram. You're studying for the test, the exam. That's a cram session, like I would do in college. And you end up not really, you know, retaining the material that you're trying to learn, because you're jumping to the next coach, a different language. And then all of a sudden you're in the NFL. I think that's difficult to do when you're going to 2, 3, 4 spots, and ultimately you're going to the highest bidder. It's not development, but it is monetarily sound.
Now, how much is the university behind Aguilar in this one? Because Adam did ask the question, if they had their guy at quarterback, a 5-star guy ready to start as a freshman.
If they hit on the portal, exactly. Yeah, I know where you're right.
Yeah, would they stand need behind Aguilar the way they are?
I don't think so. Not if they hit in the portal the way they were, you know, actively and aggressively going at it. You know, like it's left to where they've got a guy who knows the system now. You know how he plays in it. He's not going to be as mobile as some of the other quarterbacks that have had success in Heupel's system. But look at all the changes that Heupel's made this offseason. You know, he's got a head coach of defense now in Jim Knowles. Especially given the fact that we're seeing success in 1 and 2 years being on a job elsewhere. And in the NFL level, Mace, but look at the coaches here at the Super Bowl. First year, second year. There's no patience anymore, and so you have to satisfy those that are writing the checks, or you're going to get the buyout money. And I think there's pressure on the coach to make sure you have the quarterback. And if you still are uncertain, they were uncertain about these guys last year, they would be uncertain this year, given the elevated play that we saw from Aguilar, even though he got there so late in the calendar.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. So, Jonathan, just to clarify, you think Tennessee wants this to happen? They want Aguilar back?
Well, I know I know that they have someone in the portal. I'm saying they have a baseline of play right now from him. I thought overall Aguilar was okay. I didn't expect him to play the way he did. Let me put it that way. Last year, given the hurry up style, and I don't think it's a bad thing given the experience level, because I keep hearing about other quarterbacks that don't seem ready, and they didn't hit on their top targets in the portal anyway, Willie. You know, they were passed over. So, I mean, if it happens, Aguilar comes back for another year. I mean, he's going to come in and compete. And he instantly got the job last year. I think that's a good thing for Heupel, not a bad thing.
Okay, best person you've talked to, most interesting person you've talked to since you've been out in San Fran?
Well, since we're on this topic, the name that comes to mind for me is Jeff Garcia, because he didn't enter the NFL until the age of 29. And I asked him, I said, can you imagine if this was an open portal, you wouldn't have had to go to the CFL and prove yourself. You just continued to have eligibility. And he had a great response to that, where there's no grit. The portal leaves you without the grit and the work, because you just jump ship and you go to somewhere where you're going to be, you know, gratified. That was interesting to hear from him, just from the path that he took to the league. You know, we've had several solid guests, Willie, but the ones that will actually sit down and talk with you instead of push a product, those are the best ones. You know that firsthand.
For sure. Okay.
Hey, by the way, I went to the Preds game Monday, and unfortunately I did leave early. Does that make me?
So you're here to sort of just repent.
I left early. Yeah,
I'm glad you're not one of those people to say I was in the building when they made the comeback. No, you left.
I sat in the 1-2-5 section too, and I bounced.
Nice. What was the score? Was it 5-1 when you bounced?
No, it was getting there though. It was a very slow first period. In the second period, the way it escalated, it was time for me to walk home.
So you left before it was even 5-1?
Yeah, I left before it was 5-1. I thought, I didn't see anything from the I didn't see anything from the press that made me think they were going to do anything.
No, they looked about as bad as you could look at the beginning.
It was a great crowd and a very quiet crowd.
Yeah,
it was also, I don't know if you could notice that, but it was just interesting. I didn't feel the vibe that night, and all of a sudden I missed it. I'm the reason why they came back. Okay.
Take credit. It was still 5-1 halfway through the game. That's the crazy part. It got to 5-1 early in the second. There was still 7, 8, 9 minutes before the Predators started to get going.
Well, I fell asleep at 3-5, so there you go.
Yeah, D-Mace didn't make it to the finish line either.
Oh, he was also quiet.
Yeah. So, Hutt, what do you think of the matchup here? What have you learned as you try to put together what we think is going to happen on Sunday?
So, really for New England, they're discussing, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba a lot. I think that's very surface level. I think New England's got to stop the run. And they certainly have the ability to do that because I don't think New England can go toe-to-toe on score for score here. They're both very explosive offenses, though, which is surprising given how New England's offense is built. But they're in the top five for offenses of explosive plays this year, especially in the run game. Seattle certainly is as well. And then their defenses give up the fewest in the league. So who's going to be the explosive player for New England on offense? And if Seattle's front gets to Drake May early, the game's over because offensive line issues for New England will play a problem. And, you know, both quarterbacks are banged up. Both quarterbacks are playing here. I am one that wants to see Vrabel accomplish the goal because there are a lot of other coaches and staff members there that I was fortunate enough to meet and I really like. That I'm pulling for them to be able to do this. I think it's a tight game. I don't think Vrabel and the Patriots are getting blown out, but they will if they can't protect Drake May because this is a defense that will get after them.
Is the Vrabel? I know here in Nashville, everybody, it's almost sarcastic. Oh, those Titans, they're going to pay the price for letting Vrabel go. It's revisionist history a little bit.
Oh,
is it a big story out there, or is that just a Nashville thing?
They think it's a big story because New England ends up with everything that they want in the end. You know, the big story is really Belichick and whether or not Brady's going to pay a price the way Kraft and Belichick have for the Hall of Fame. That's what they've been discussing. But the fact that the Patriots are back here after their long, what was it, 6-year drought? How long has it been since they? I mean, hasn't been that long. You know, they've had to wait for a chance at the title, and you know, the Titans are viewed as idiots for letting the guy go for, you know, for the coach they just hired, that was the closest thing to Vrabel they could have gone after. And then the replacement didn't work out at all for the type and style of coach that really both of these guys represent. Defensive-minded, overall teams that are very sound. They don't commit penalties. They don't get they're not distracted on the sideline. They know the rule book. You know, they're going to make the right call in the moment on how they manage a game. The Titans got rid of that coach. And that's how they're viewed.
Hutton, let me ask you
question. By the way, I did say Derrick Henry walking around too.
Oh.
That's so there's another Titan tie-in.
What's he hawking out there?
You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Something to make you big.
yes, right. Yeah, probably workout equipment. How to run a hill.
Let me ask you a question before we let you go that I asked Willie and Derek yesterday. Which Super Bowl storyline will you get sick of hearing about first?
Overall? Yes. This week?
Yes.
Oh, it's already Jackson Smith and Jigba. How do they stop him? Are they going to have him one-on-one? That's all the analysts are saying that all the time. That's because it's just low-hanging fruit. It's the easiest thing to go with. Is Christian Gonzalez going to go one-on-one with him? The answer is no. He's not going to attack. He will at times, but Vrabel didn't do that here at all. He would do it at times where you shadow the guy. But they move around JSN so much that they're going to have to do other things. That's why they have to stop the run without having to stack the box. Mace, you could speak on this even more, but like the style of receiver that Smith and Jigba is, that Vrabel wasn't doing that with the quarterbacks, even when he had Butler, Logan Ryan, and Christian Fulton as a rookie. They never shadowed one receiver. It would depend on how motions went and other things within the defense.
Yeah, it's just hard to do it now. And some teams still manage to do it from time to time. But because, you know, your elite receiver, a lot of times those guys are interchangeable. You put them inside, outside.
Right.
And it's hard. That's why, you know, systems matter now. And, you know, with certain guys. Because they have the skill, but what you do as far as designing how to get this open, it makes it hard for, you know, defenses to cover it.
It is amazing how undersold, underplayed the Sam Darnold storyline is here.
Interesting.
No one's really talking about him.
Incredibly overplayed.
I don't hear his name very often.
I'm actually encouraged by that.
Yeah. Well, media night, though, they were trying to get him to do a bird call because apparently he's on this bird watching app. where they determine what sound the bird makes so he can find out what bird he's looking at. He does this in his backyard. And that they tried to like goad him into doing this for like a viral video. He never did it. But that was also annoying. They wanted to talk more about bird calls.
Okay. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow.
Nothing as annoying as Happy New Year.
Yes, that is true.
Did I see this right, guys? I think Adam Sparks has just put out the story that Aguilar has been granted a temporary restraining order, and there is an injunction hearing set for February 6th. I don't know what that means. I guess that's the next step in the process?
Yeah, they put it on pause. So, like, he's able to go about his the way I hear that, Willie, is it's business as usual because there's been no ruling until the hearing.
Okay, so a hearing is – I mean,
the TRO
that's
is
Friday.
What Favia received.
So okay. What happens in the hearing on Friday will be pretty important.
Can they continue to push this out, Hutt?
Yes, but like they didn't do it with Favia last year. There was a pretty quick ruling around the time. It was around the spring time. Correct me if I'm wrong. It was around spring portal because Vandy needed to know whether or not they needed to go get a quarterback. And they got the ruling right before then.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow has been our guest on D-Maze, Vingan and Donick. He joins us every Wednesday. Hutton, enjoy the big game. I don't know if we can call it the Super Bowl. The big game.
I do anyway.
Enjoy
do
the
anyway.
Big game, and we'll talk to you next week.
They don't like our step and repeat banners. We raise them higher. You know what I mean? yeah. Thank you, guys. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You, right, Hutton.
Have a good one.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next. A listener reached out to me on social media last night with a question about the Predators that he wants me to answer, and I will do that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025. The game.